Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
On the night of February 23rd, 2022, Alex Borovensky and Annabelle Ramirez hosted a movie night.
Well, we watched Tarantino. The Grindhouse, right? That was the Grindhouse.
Yeah. So it was very violent and funny, but very violent. So it was kind of, we were talking a lot that night about violence.
Alex and Annabelle run a theater in Kiev, Ukraine. And besides staging plays at the theater, they'd put on different kinds of events.
Then we hop on the metro and we came home very late. It was like one, we went to bed at one. And then early in the morning, 5 a.m. or so, I got a call from our administrator of the theater. And she called me and she said basically just two words, Alex, wake up, there is a war. And she hung up, and next thing I hear, explosions.
On February 24th, Russia invaded Ukraine.
There is this very thick wall of like very thick glass that separates the 24th of February of last year. And you remember all those times, but they seem so unreal these days. And everything that we do now seems so real. We never believed that the war could happen in this century, in this continent, in this level of human development. When we heard the explosions, like behind the window, first thing that we do, we were like walking around the room. And like I say, for the first 30 or 40 minutes, we were just messaging people close to us, our relatives, friends, reading the messages, listening to what's happening outside the window.
It was scary, but the scary thing was sirens, because we didn't know what does it mean. I clearly remember that I felt that if I hear sirens, it means that bombs are immediately falling down. And I had this feeling like we need to find the place to hide now. We had friends who did buy food and water and prepared a bag with clothes and documents. We didn't do that. So we actually decided, like, okay, let's buy at least some water and some food for like 3 days, because of, I guess, movies or something, you think that there will be a chaos, people panicking. But actually, it was pretty controlled, so people went to shops. Yes, it was strange. There was a lot of like, huge queues, but other than queues, people were very polite and kind of very laughing a lot, making jokes, I guess, because of like nervous jokes, you know. Some people, yes, was gathering stuff, and there were a lot of cars. You could see a lot of cars, people trying to get out of the city. But it was still kind of, I didn't feel panic in the air, as it's what I remember. Like, I mean, it was kind of very lost. I guess people didn't understand what was going on. So it was too soon to panic, kind of like this.
Alex and Annabelle remember that they bought one large bottle of water and some canned meat and dumplings.
But they're frozen. So to prepare them, you need to have, first of all, you need to have a fridge to kind of save them. And you need to have gas to prepare them or electricity. So like a lot of very stupid, small decisions based on actually ignorance of what war is and how it develops and understanding the rules of war, I guess it was hard.
First thing that we did, we put Friends episodes and we started watching it. It was like, you know, this little piece of normality in this world.
So you feel numb. You don't know what to do, so you kind of stick to something very safe. You just watch a TV series. It feels like as if you do watch it, it will make everything else disappear, and then you kind of finish, and the war will be over. And it is more about state of shock. Everything that we're telling right now, I'm not saying for everybody, because everybody lives this day very differently. But for people that I know, the whole period of first 2 weeks is very blurred and actually really hard to remember how I felt about it. Because what I remember is being shocked.
After a few hours, they decided to go to their theater. It's in a basement and was a bomb shelter during World War II, when Nazi forces occupied Kiev. They thought it would be safer than their apartment.
So we took two backpacks with basic clothes and a couple of items and documents, and that's it.
Yeah, we really didn't take enough clothes with us.
Because if we needed to leave very fast, you know, like you think about very, very basic what you need in the very first days. And we also were kind of fearing that metro will not go. So we tried to reach the metro while it was working.
Now they opened the metro for everybody. People could go in freely. You don't have to buy the ticket. And I remember sitting there, and Ukrainians were very obedient about the mask system, COVID and everything. But I remember sitting in the metro and looking at people, and nobody's wearing masks. Nobody's wearing any mask. And I'm like, whoa. And that's, you know, one of the things when I kind of woke up after a shock, I'm like, oh, that was strange. And there was no, you know, shotguns or the sound of Kalashnikovs in the street on the day one. There was later, but on the day one, these explosions early in the morning, then they kind of not stopped entirely, but they ceased. So like by 11, say 11 in the morning, it was pretty much more peaceful and you don't see any smoke. So you like think maybe it has stopped. Maybe there is a peace treaty. Maybe they kind of got thrown back by Ukrainian army. It feels like it has stopped for a second. But then you read the news and you see nah, it's going on.
Russian forces were moving quickly towards Kiev. There were reports that the Russian troops intended to, quote, decapitate the government in Ukraine's capital. A small group of friends and colleagues gathered at Alex and Annabelle's theater.
First thing we did, we kind of made videos for social medias about, we hear the sirens, this is war, this is what's going on.
Hello. My name is Alex Borovensky. I am the theater maker and an artist. And what you hear over here is the siren in my native city of Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine. And today I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning listening to this very siren. And it's like, what, 2 p.m.? And I've been listening to it over and over. Not only to the siren, but also to the sounds of bombing, sounds of explosion.
We went inside to decide what do we do. And then the first lady from the apartment building came and asked, like, is this a shelter? Can we just stay for a while? And, well, we said, yes, of course. And this is how it all started. Like, people started coming and coming and coming.
I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love. We'll be right back. Support for This Is Love comes from Shopify.
If you've ever had a dream of starting your own business, Shopify can be a great place to start. Shopify is an online platform that lets you sell things online and in person, and makes it incredibly easy to accept all kinds of different payment methods, figure out how to charge taxes, how to charge shipping, and get detailed, top-down views on how your sales are going. Some of your favorite brands already rely on Shopify to power their online shops, like Rothy's, Brooklinen, and Allbirds. But you don't need to be well-established to use Shopify. They'll help you at every stage of your business and have tools to help people who are just starting out, like their AI-powered tool, Shopify Magic, or their built-in marketing tools that can help you create and analyze campaigns. Shopify grows with your business, no matter how far or big you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/thisislove, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/thisislove now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/thisislove. Support for This Is Love comes from Quince. Lately, I've been less interested in having a lot of clothes and more interested in having fewer things that are well-made and will last me a long time. Quince offers well-made clothing like corduroy pants, 100% organic cotton fisherman crew sweaters, and really beautiful cashmere at a more reasonable price. Quince's items cost 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They partner directly with top factories and, according to Quince, only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. One of the things I got was a denim button-down shirt that has hundreds of great reviews. It comes in denim and chambray, feels very soft, and looks great. I also ordered their best-selling cashmere trouser sock in a few colors and even gave a pair to my mother. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/thisislove for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/thisislove to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/thisislove. In the next few days, Annabelle and Alex say that the group kept changing as new people joined them at the theater and others fled the city. Every night, the theater housed between 20 and 40 people of all ages. They'd sleep on mats and blankets spread out on the concrete floor. They started calling the theater Art Shelter.
It was winter, and two rooms in our theater, there is no heating. So we put in these small portable heaters, and they were consuming lots of electricity, and they were working all day and night, like 24/7, because otherwise people would just freeze. And we rearranged one room that used to be a rehearsal room into the canteen. We brought two steam cooking devices. We brought a fridge from somewhere. I don't know where we get a fridge. We took a fridge.
When you look at photos and videos from the shelter, you can see people sitting around cluttered tables. You can see lots of cans of food and large plastic bottles of soda. Annabelle runs a publishing house that translates Latin American authors into Ukrainian, and she stored boxes of books at the theater. On one of the first days, they realized they needed to cover the windows in case of explosions or shelling. They stacked books from Annabelle's publishing house in front of the windows, covering them completely. Alex continued recording himself and the people in the shelter.
Day 3 of Russian invasion into Ukraine, the sirens keep going, the bombing keep going on. The Russian troops were stopped at Prospect Peremogi. Ukraine is still standing, Kyiv is still standing. Slava Ukraini!
The amount of information we received was overwhelming. Like, we received the freshest updates, but it was hard to filter what's real, what's not, what's, you know. So we knew that they hit from every direction, that bombings of airdrops and everything happening, that they are crossing the border, that they are attacking from Belarusian side, that they are trying to get to Kyiv. But to understand what's real, what's not, that's, you know, that was hard.
In one video, an older woman sits at a kitchen table, reading on her phone. She's reading an article out loud to the group. In another, a group is gathered around that same table, listening to a speech by President Volodymyr Zelensky. Every night, he would address Ukrainians.
Some days, they didn't leave the shelter at all.
It started snowing in Kiev. I'd say it's relatively peaceful. If you don't consider the...
Kiev's mayor announced that half of the city's population had fled the capital during the first 2 weeks of the invasion. But Alex and Annabelle say they never considered leaving.
Knowing that it's dangerous, inside it feels much more safe to be around your close ones rather than stay away. I know it's different for everybody, but for me, like, this was very clear. I need to know what's going on. I need to leave all these emotions through with my people and, find ways to be useful in the spot, in the place.
Yeah, I would say that we became much more rooted this winter of our discontent and the summer of our discontent and autumn of our discontent and the whole year of our discontent made us much more united and much more rooted.
One woman who came to stay at the theater brought three cats. One of them had belonged to her son.
She lost her son on the first days of the invasion. He was in the front line. So she had three cats, and one of them was the cat of this boy.
The cat had long gray fur and was named Sicily. Sicily often appears in Alex's video diaries from the shelter.
This is my morning coffee right here. And this is my best friend, Cilia. Cilia is the short name for Sicily, but we just call her Ukrainian way, Cilia. Cilishka, say hello. One room we had to rearrange into the cat room because people will leave in town and they called us and say, take care of the animals or just grab a key from the apartment. There is a cat inside. Go get it. And like we did. And eventually we had like 7 or 8.
In the videos recorded at the theater, there's a lot of joking and laughter.
Laughter is the first thing that came on 24th. And the only thing that stayed completely through all the time. Because if you don't have the sense of humor and the ability to laugh through something, your body will collapse from the tension that it contains inside. Laughter is very natural and beautiful way to process things. It just feels really important because when people laugh, people feel alive. And this is what we want to gain because war makes you feel dead inside. It just takes away everything from you. And then when you laugh, you kind of, oh, I'm still human being. Wow.
Yeah. And seriously talking, the whole situation, this whole war is a joke. Look at Russians. Was there rusty tanks? Was there stupidest lack of strategy? Was there even idea to put a war in the middle of 21st century? That's a joke. That's something that Orwell, if you give him this plot, he's like, I'm not going to write about it. So it's like half of Ukrainians' reactions is laughing at it. Because I believe when you become stronger and more centered and more united, many things become ridiculous. So that's what we laugh at. We laugh at ridiculous things.
Yeah, which doesn't take away the respect and deepness of tragedy that's going on. I guess it's just a choice, every constant minute a choice to choose life instead of death.
We'll be right back. Support for This Is Love comes from Indeed. Indeed is a matching and hiring platform with a matching engine built to help you find quality candidates fast. According to a recent Indeed survey, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. Indeed leverages more than 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. That way, their matching engine is constantly learning to find you the right candidate. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with more than 350 million monthly unique visitors globally and an extended reach through Glassdoor.
All of this means you can cut down on the time you spend looking for the perfect candidate and spend that time focusing on everything else that's on your plate. Listeners of This Is Love can get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/This Is Love. Go to Indeed.com/This Is Love right now and say you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/This Is Love. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You might need Indeed.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within art, beats, and lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Before the invasion, tell me a little bit about what you two would do together. How would you spend your time? What did you like to do?
Work. I mean, we really spend a lot of time, even when together, talking about theater. And it is a part, very big part of what we do.
Alex and Annabelle's theater is called Pro-English Theater. It's the city's only English language theater. Alex is the theater's director. Annabelle is an actor and also directs plays.
We finish pretty late because every rehearsal is like 10 p.m. So we normally would get home like at 11 or at midnight or after midnight. And then this is like the sacred time for two of us. Like we have a projector, this overhead projector. So we would put a movie, a Netflix or something like that. Would watch it together pretty late.
How did the two of you meet?
Yeah, I remember that time I invited Annabelle to the poetry evening. And I was performing at this poetry evening, and Annabelle was in the front row and the very center. And all the poems that I did it for her. So how long have we been together?
9 years.
Yes, 9 years.
Alex has lived in Kiev for 2 decades. Annabelle moved from the suburbs to live with him after they started dating. Annabelle says Kiev has always been a beautiful city, and still is, even if it's different since the invasion.
It was a very different Kiev. It felt as the city was so ready for defense. Every 50, 100 meters, there were block posts with guards who would check your documents. I felt very protected, actually, because of what was going on and how people were very quickly adjusting to new rules. Like, the curfew started to happen, and still you didn't understand the rules of war, what sirens means, what sound means. So you needed to take some time to just kind of learn. And this is what people were doing, and this is what the streets were filled with, like people being very attentive, cautious, and ready to collaborate with military people very, very fast. We were also helping military people to build the block posts, just very quickly rebuilding the defense system.
And all of a sudden, the city became very small. So you go to the nearest drugstore, the nearest store, and that's it. So you used to know what's in the next block or what's in the next street. In March, you wouldn't know because you wouldn't go there. And many people, like, they never, like, left the shelters and they stayed there. And the streets were all covered with hedgehogs, these metallic things to stop the tanks, and these concrete blocks to stop the heavy cars and everything. So if you have a car, and we did have 2 cars, and that's how we traveled to get some people in and out. So you never go straight by car. You go by this, trying to circle these concrete blocks.
This is Dan, an actor and a good friend of mine, and he is driving the vehicle. Dan, tell us, where did you get this vehicle?
A woman gave it to me. A woman I barely know.
Voluntarily, you mean?
Yeah. I love this car. This is my car now.
How do you use it?
Well, we do a lot of volunteering here, doing military aid with stuff, doing help of babushkas with medicine.
And what did you do today specifically?
Well, we brought some armor for army from right bank to left bank. It is very important for Ukraine, this understanding of Dnipro River.
There were several days, I guess, they four and five, something like this, when Russians really tried to get into town, so you really hear Kalashnikovs, which is not like, you know, some distant explosion, that's a gun that you hear nearby, which is like half a kilometer, so it's already in town. To hear it so close, it was like, you know, that was scary, I remember. And then I guess like in a week or two, when Russians started really encircling the capital, there was another wave when parents started taking the kids. And for example, in our shelter, we had a family with two kids and they were with us for the whole week. But then when Russians really tried to take the capital and circle it, they left, and that actually was a good idea.
Today is the day 11 of Russian invasion into Ukraine. Some people just cannot take it anymore because it's been a way too much on the shoulders of Ukrainians, on the shoulders of Kiev, on the shoulders. And that's the siren going back again, and I haven't heard it for quite some time, and the difference... Today is the day 12 of Russian invasion. Today is the day 16 of Russian invasion into Ukraine. I guess it's day 18 of war on Ukraine. I keep losing track of it. You know, I don't know what day of the week it is now. We used to count it, day 1, day 2, day 3, and now it's day 18.
And then there was one dinner. We kind of had 30 people eating and being all the time in the phones, very nervous, very intense. And then somebody took the guitar and started singing. And then, like next day or in a couple of days, somebody found the book. And we started to read the book in the circle, reading aloud. People never do that in the 21st century. This experience was like, it was very surprising how people changed every time they had the opportunity to touch something like a book or a story or singing. And that's what made it very obvious that there is something in art that can actually be very, very needed.
They had an idea. They would write and create a play.
This idea was very connected to guilt as well, because we did a lot of volunteer work. Doing theater would cut a little bit time of this volunteer work, and it felt like, is theater really that important right now? Like, maybe it's better I do some more and more volunteer work to kind of help people who need it. But in some other moments, you felt more useless, because what can you actually do? What do you know how to do in this life? And the only answer is art. So this was just a thing to, I guess, keep us sane and give us this feeling that we are doing something that we know how to. And there was this also feeling of, we need to document what is going on. We need to remember how it felt like. And it also gave us a lot of power and understanding of our own, you know, kind of narrative and the story. So we kind of have control over what's going on.
They decided to base the play on a novel, The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak, about a young girl living in Nazi Germany who reads aloud to her neighbors in a bomb shelter. They started rehearsing.
There was a lot of people. There is no free space at all. Everybody's entering the room all the time. There are cats. There is sirens. There is like lots of distraction. Theater preparation requires privacy. We didn't have it. We didn't have it, which means all of the choices were kind of like co-created. Like you look around, you see a person sleeping in a sleeping bag next to you while you're rehearsing. You're going to take the story into the show, which led to a very intuitive show and the show that somehow started touching the audience like without them thinking. So it works on some other level, I think.
Alex and Annabelle had worked together before, but this was something new.
We always were super busy with the project. She has her things, my things. We meet only like at 11 at night, you know, for our time. And during this March, we were very close to each other. We still are. I mean, it did change us because we spent so much time together as never before. And we actually started, I guess, enjoy it more.
By late March, Russian forces were being pushed out of Kiev. Alex and Annabelle say that's when they decided to put on the play. They would do it at the shelter. There were 15 people in the audience. But they also live-streamed the play, and thousands of people from all over the world watched.
Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
This recording from the night shows Alex on stage, introducing the play. The stage is dark, the walls are black, the lighting is very dim. But along the edges of the stage are sleeping mats, blankets, and sleeping bags.
And normally, before every show, we would polish this place. We would make it, you know, just super clean and everything. For months, this place, our artistic space, has been a bomb shelter. And people actually sleep there.
Alex introduces some of them. He describes a woman from the apartment building upstairs who sleeps in the theater because it's safer, and in exchange, she lets everyone use her shower.
This show will be using some sound of sirens, and these days it can be quite traumatic for the audience. Be aware.
At one side of the stage, Annabelle sits on a mat.
And Annabelle Ramirez, that performed it all. She's my favorite actress. And we will keep the streaming of this performance on our page until the war is over.
Alex explains that the story, The Book of Sirens, is set in a small German town between the years of 1939 and 1945. The town is bombed. A piano player off to the side of the stage performs live music. All of the props used in the play are everyday items from the shelter. Cans, a toothbrush, a sleeping bag, a phone, and books. The books are all from Annabelle's publishing house. In the middle of the room is a small table with several cans of food. Annabelle gets up and slowly walks towards the table.
I looked up and saw the tin can planes. I saw their stomach open. And then bombs.
I remember the talk after the performance with one of the girls who came to see, and that she said, "Thank you, because this is the first time I allowed myself to cry, because before that I thought if I would cry, it would mean that I'm giving up. And it would mean that I'm not able to kind of continue the resistance. And the resistance just started." But like after watching the performance and crying with you, I realized that I actually have even more strength to resist. And I remember how it impacted me so much.
About 1 month after the invasion, people felt safe enough to start leaving the theater.
I do remember this real feeling when everybody left and you walk in their rooms. Nobody's sleeping in their changing room. Nobody's cooking in the canteen. And it's like empty. And then I do remember that I opened the shutters. We have this electronic shutters that open. And we never opened them during this month or so. It was always electricity light inside. And I did the shutters, and they slowly started going up, and I saw the light from the street.
Alex and Annabelle moved into a new apartment. One of the cats who had lived at the theater came with them, Cicely.
It's, you know, this love and hate relationship with this cat. She's unbearable. I mean, like, she never listens to anyone. I don't think she ever loves anyone. But when she starts doing this, you adore this creature, you adore this animal, and you have no protection against, because she is just the queen.
Their new apartment is even closer to the theater.
And by close, I mean 3-minute walk. So it's that close, because this staying in the theater for a month or so, it kind of made us understand this is the center of our existence. This is where we want to create, protect, help people, and this is where we want to be.
We'll have a link to their performance on our website. This Is Love is created by Lauren Spohr and me. Nadia Wilson is our senior producer. Katie Bishop is our supervising producer. Our producers are Susanna Robertson, Jackie Sajiko, Libby Foster, Lily Clark, Lena Sillison, and Megan Kinane. Our technical director is Rob Byers. Engineering by Russ Henry. Learn more about the show on our website, thisislovepodcast.com. And if you like the show, tell a friend or leave us a review. It means a lot. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at This Is Love Show. This Is Love is recorded in the studios of North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. We're part of the Vox Media Podcast Network. Discover more great shows at podcast.voxmedia.com. I'm Phoebe Judge, and this is Love.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art, Beats, and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within Art, Beats, and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.